You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is the 1st of December 2020, and you're listening to me, Sir Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's day one on the Advent calendar, but as always, just like the rest of the year, we have news from the clown world that we live in. And the first bit of news that we have today to discuss comes from Australia, and it concerns the trans agenda. An Australian couple whose child was reportedly seized by state authorities is appealing a magistrate's ruling finding them abusive and dangerous for resisting testosterone therapy for their daughter, who identifies as male. Now, this is really quite serious here, that people's children, parents' own children, are being taken from them because they wish the best for their children. Now, if you're under the age of 18, you're not allowed to get a tattoo because that permanently disfigures the body. Yet what they are saying here is that children under the age of 16 can permanently disfigure their bodies against their parents' wishes. And if the parents don't wish to allow their child to do that to themselves, the state will take them away. That's the first side of this that is so wrong. The second side of this that is so wrong is that when children are taken into care, it puts them at a far greater risk of being preyed upon by perverted adults. We see this with the grooming gangs in Britain. We also see this with pedophile homosexuals that hang around these places, these care homes, trying to seduce the young boys there. They take an interest in them. And where these children have been taken away from their families, taken away from their parents, that they're desperate for somebody to pay an interest in them. And this need of the child to have an adult paying attention to them and taking an interest in them, this gets taken advantage of by these perverts. Some really sickening, twisted things happen in these care homes. And these are supposed to be places where children are placed in protective custody to prevent these sort of things happening to them. In actual fact, it puts them at a far greater risk of these things happening to them. And we know that transsexuals are involved in the extreme homosexuality scene. We know that that's what they're involved in. Before all this trans agenda took place, a lot of these transsexuals used to spend their time prostituting themselves to get the money together to go and have this operation. They were told that they had to live for a year in the gender that they have chosen. And a lot of the time they would spend that year acting as prostitutes. We know that they sell themselves out for the novelty value of the fact that they are actually a transsexual. It puts them as a target for people with perverted desires. So you got that added to this as well, with children that are showing gender dysphoria, that are saying that they want to change their gender. It puts them at a massive risk, putting them in these care homes. And again, I mean, I haven't even mentioned the way that this is usurping the parents' authority. The one thing that you do own, the one thing that is yours, is your family. And if you are a child, you are owned by your parents. They created you. They are responsible for you. They are the ones best placed to make decisions about your safety. And what we have here is the state usurping that role, taking that role away from the parents. It's terrible that children can be taken away from their parents in the first place, let alone taken away from their parents so that they can be mutilated, medically mutilated and effectively castrated or rendered infertile by the state through modern medicine. And the drugs that they give these children are drugs that are supposed to be used for people who have severe hormonal cancers. So their endocrine systems are malfunctioning and they're producing too many hormones, either too much testosterone or too much estrogen. And we have certain drugs that suppress the endocrine system, prevent the body from producing the hormones that it is supposed to make. And I know from experience from people that have had prostate cancer that when they stop taking these injections that suppress the body from producing testosterone, it can take years before the body starts producing its own testosterone again. It may never start producing its own testosterone again. They just don't know. These drugs are so powerful. That's the first drug that they will give them. The second drug is the opposite gender's hormones, which will usually render the person completely infertile. Now, when you're doing this to a child that hasn't actually gone through puberty yet, we know that when you get your first burst of testosterone, that's when you get your growth spurt. That's when you essentially the testicles drop out of the body into the bag and you start growing the hairs and the rest of it. Now, if they prevent this from happening when somebody is a child, who is to say that if they do then give them testosterone years later, that they will still go through their growth spurt? We don't know that it is just the testosterone on its own that produces the growth spurt, because it doesn't continue happening, does it? When you're an adult, you don't continue having this growth spurt. It stops for some reason. It starts and it stops. So it cannot just be the testosterone on its own that causes this. This is a huge experiment that is going on with our children here. And I'm drawing attention to the male aspects of this, but the female aspects of it are just as bad. In actual fact, there's been a greater explosion in young girls wishing to be young boys than there has been of boys wishing to be girls. And the whole idea that you can actually change sex is a false one. It's not possible to change the sex that you actually are. You either have XX chromosomes, which means you're a female, or you have XY chromosomes and you're a male. And to reduce being male or female down to purely the genitals is a complete fantasy. This is what children are being taught today. This is what young people are being taught, that males and females are exactly the same, apart from the genitals, and that you can make male genitals out of what females have, and you can essentially make female genitals out of what males have. You can't. You can't do that. How can you make a responsive hydraulic appendage for a female that is going to work with all the blood vessels and the capillaries that are needed in order for the member to swell like it does in a male? You cannot do that for a female. For a male, how can you essentially create a female sexual organs? You cannot do that. All they can do is wound the male. They can castrate the male. They can cut his appendage off and they can leave a wound there. And the wound has to have something inserted in it every day to keep it from closing, to keep it from healing. Because for the rest of their life, their body will be trying to heal that self-inflicted wound. And that's just when we're actually talking about the essential parts of the body, the essential sexual parts of the body. There are also other massive differences. Women have much smaller hands than men. Women have much smaller feet than men. If a man tries to change sex to being a woman for the rest of his life, he will be self-conscious of his feet and his hands. How can you hide your hands? Anybody that looks at that person's hands is going to know that that person is XY chromosome and is not XX chromosomes. The anus is in a different position on women to men. And it's quite conceivable that even if somebody didn't work out by the size of the hands and didn't work out by the size of the feet, that as soon as they got intimate with somebody, they would then discover that their anus is in a different position, which is going to be putting these transgenders at risk of being attacked. You imagine if you think you're actually with a woman and it suddenly dawns upon you that you are actually with a man. And it's just horrific. It's the stuff that nightmares are made of. And these children are not taught this. They're taught this fantasy that they can just change their gender. And a lot of the time these girls are terrified into thinking that they're being brought up in this patriarchal society where they're at risk of being raped by men all the time. And they're terrified of this, and they're terrified of their weakness. They don't see men as their protectors and their providers. And they think that the best way to prevent themselves from ever being raped is to turn into a boy. And they believe this fantasy that they can. And they're given these drugs which mess up their adult lives. And this is the reason why we see such a high suicide rate among these gender dysphoric individuals. It's not the ones that haven't gone through the process of trying to modify their bodies. It's the ones that have gone through that process and that have made a complete pig's ear of their body, and they end up being even more disassociated with their body because they hate what they have actually done to it. Now, I dare say that these parents, this Australian couple, they will have researched all of this. They will have weighed up the pros and cons. They would have worked out how much strength this gender dysphoria in their daughter has, and they will have worked out what's best for the child. They are the best placed people to work out what is best for the child, not the state. They have been intimately involved with that child who they created from their combined genes for the entire 15 years that this child has been on the earth. Nobody is better placed than they are for deciding what is right for the child. If anything, if there are parents that are trying to give their children these opposite hormones and prevent them from going puberty, then maybe the child should be taken away and taken away to somewhere where they're not going to be preyed upon by perverts. Unfortunately, as I pointed out earlier, they all get put in the same sort of house together where they are then at risk of older perverts preying on them. Lawyers for the unidentified parents filed papers last week seeking to appeal a magistrate's October decision, setting up what appears to be the country's first test case on parental rights regarding gender dysphoria medicine, the Australian newspaper reported on Saturday. Their child, then 15, was taken away from the family last year after discussing suicide online. Now, it's interesting that they call these chemicals that they are giving to these children here, they refer to it as gender dysphoria medicine. Now, if it was a medicine, it would prevent there being this dysphoria. And to prevent there being gender dysphoria, you have to reinforce the association with the gender that the person actually is, with the sex that the person actually is. So if it's a young boy, you have to show him how to enjoy doing the things that young boys do and teach him to not enjoy doing the things that young girls do, and the opposite way around for girls than boys. That's how you cure gender dysphoria. You don't cure gender dysphoria by reinforcing the delusion. I mean, this is a dysphoria. It's not a euphoria. It's not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. So what they're actually calling here, these drugs that they give them, by calling them gender dysphoria medicine, even the wording for it is wrong. It's only a medicine if it's used to ameliorate the symptoms of these endocrine cancers that people get, these hormonal cancers that people get. The father told the Australian, "The authorities say we will not allow her to change gender, so it is dangerous for her to come back to our house because we will mentally abuse her. They want us to consent to testosterone treatment." So the state is saying that because these parents care for their child, because they don't want her to be taking these experimental chemicals, that's abuse. That's abuse. They say that the parents who have brought this child up for 15 years are mentally abusing her because they treat her as a girl, because they want her to be reinforced in her identity as a female rather than reinforced in a fantasy identity of being a male. The parents are seeking an independent psychological review of all possible causes of their child's depression, as well as consideration of non-invasive treatment options. And a lot of these people, a lot of these children that show this gender dysphoria, they're autistic. Masses of them are autistic. And we learned last year with a report from the Tavistock Centre, which is the medical centre that deals with this in Britain, that they're not allowed to actually suggest that it could be autism. If a child comes in and says, "I think I am gender dysphoric, I think I am the other gender," the doctors are not allowed to say, "Well, it could be autism, it could be bulimia, it could be anorexia, it could be body dysmorphia, it could be bipolar, it could be all manner of things." And the doctors are not allowed to say that, because if they suggest that it is something else, then they are not reinforcing the gender that the child has decided that they want to be. So this political correctness, which is essentially supposed to be there so we don't hurt people's feelings in society, so people don't feel we're being mean to them, that is actually preventing doctors from making a correct diagnosis. Now, when you go to see the doctor and you say, "Doctor, I think I have this problem," 9 times out of 10, the doctors will say, "Well, it might not be that. And we need to check that it's not this problem first. We need to check that it's not problem A or problem B or problem C before we get around to discussing whether it's what you think it is, which may be problem D." But in the case of these transgenders, it's the opposite way around. Instead of suggesting that it might be other causes, these doctors have to agree with the child and suggests that it is gender dysphoria, that they have to go along with the child's fantasies, even though they may know full well that this may be autism. So it sounds to me as if these parents have well researched this, and they're calling it a depression as well. They're saying, "Look, this is depression. This isn't body dysmorphia. This isn't gender dysmorphia. This is a depression that needs treating." And the state is refusing to go along with that because the state has to reaffirm the child's desired gender as well. And because of that, this child has now been taken away from their parents. The teen struggled after losing friends at 13 when the family relocated. And those difficulties were compounded by a difficult start to puberty and anxiety about eating and body image, the mother said. So here we have an eating disorder. Eating disorders are associated with this as well. The family migrated to Australia a decade ago, the newspaper said, without actually identifying their native country. And the magistrate found that the teen likely suffered verbal abuse over, quote, his feelings and expression of gender identity, which the parents denied. So even though this is a female, even though this is a girl, this is a child, the magistrate is compelled to refer to the girl as a he and to accept whatever the child says rather than what the parents say. And again, this is an aspect of hate crimes and political correctness, where if you identify as one of these minorities, then whatever you say has to be believed. So despite the parents saying, "Well, this isn't actually what has gone on," because this is a claimed transgender child, the child has to be believed more than the parents. So we are not all equal under the law, are we, if that is the case? But that is another issue. Lawyers for the child earlier this month filed papers seeking approval to begin hormone therapy. So the child itself now has their own lawyers, and they are being pitted against the parents because they have been taught to see themselves as an individual with individual rights rather than being taught to see themselves as a child until they are the age of 16 or until they are the age of 18, and to see themselves as the property of the parents. Now, it's very comforting for young children to see themselves as the property of their parents. They really need to understand that, to feel wanted, to feel loved. But rather than teaching children this nowadays, we teach them that they are individuals and they have their own rights. They have their own rights. And of course, what that is really about, it's not about helping children. It's about trying to lower the age of consent and saying, well, it's a child's right to have sexual relations with who the child wants to, regardless of age. And we see this happening in California, where they have lowered the age of consent for children, so that as if a child can actually give their consent. And you've got the same thing here, that the child can give their consent to mutilating themselves and changing gender, when, of course, a child can't even give consent to getting a tattoo at that age. A Twitter commenter who said her own daughter suffered from rapid onset gender dysphoria said state interventions, such as in the Australia case, mark the end of parenting as we knew it. Now, this is an interesting term here, rapid onset gender dysphoria. People will point out, older people will point out, well, where are all these gender dysphoric individuals? Where were they when I was being brought up in school? We never had anybody in our school who had gender dysphoria. And we now hear of some schools where there are six pupils in one classroom that are all claiming to have gender dysphoria. So how is this happening? Well, we now have this phrase here, rapid onset gender dysphoria, which comes on when these children are exposed to it, when they're exposed to these teachings that are pro-transgender, when they see that if they claim to be a transgender, everybody else has to change the way they act around them. They get to determine what names they're called. They get to determine what pronouns they are. Everybody is walking on eggshells around them. They become the center of attention. All these things are inducements to claiming to be gender dysphoric. So rather than having these children that show from an early age that there's a bit of confusion there, we have children that for a while they may have had an eating disorder, or for a while that they may have showed that they have autism, and they suddenly settle on this gender dysphoria, because having gender dysphoria is the one condition that makes all the adults run around after them and bending over backwards to help them. So it's quite easy to see the benefits of claiming to be a transgender when you are still a school student. And now we have this phrase, rapid onset gender dysphoria. And the very fact that it is of rapid onset, that tends to infer that it's not genuine, isn't it? If it just suddenly comes on like that, and it's not something that the parents have observed for their whole life, it's just something that happens after one of the children at school decides that they are a different gender. This is what happened in this school that had six girls in one class claiming all to be transgender. They were all autistic as well. It was a journalist for the Daily Mail that was writing about this last year. It was one of their daughters was in the class with these girls, and she was saying that they're not all treated equally, and these girls that claim to be transgender, they get all this special treatment. And of course, that's the inducement to go along with this. We also have people that years ago, they might have claimed to be gay or lesbian, and now they would rather claim to be transgender because it means they get so much more attention. And we have homosexual organizations that are complaining about this, and essentially because it means that people are being taken away from the homosexual community and into the transsexual community. It's a terrible mess that we've made for our children here. As the debate on treatment for gender dysphoria heats up in Australia, some American states are creating exceptions to parental consent laws to enable children to get such treatments as hormone therapy and sex change surgeries without parental consent. They shouldn't even be able to have it with parental consent. And remember the case last year with the young boy who was a twin, and when he was with his dad, he was quite happy to be playing football and behaving like a boy. And when he was with a mum, when he was with his mother, she was dressing him in a dress and getting him to do girly things and calling him Luna. And she was going to take him away to have sex change surgery. And she had custody of the child. That must be absolutely horrific for the father. I don't believe children should be able to have sex change surgery, and I don't believe the parents should be able to consent for children to have sex change surgery either. The only instant where you might have to have genital surgery is in the extremely rare incident of a hermaphrodite being born. If a hermaphrodite is born, then they are intersex. You can't really tell which sex they need to be, and what you need to do is make a decision based on what you can see as to what sex the child should be and hope for the best. And in some instances, they have actually done the wrong thing. And you've had a child that is actually male that has been castrated at birth because they were intersex at birth. A very, very sad situation can occur. But that is the only time that they should be looking at surgery on genitals to affirm the gender and sex that a child should be is if they are intersex. Starting this year, children as young as 13 years old in Washington State have been allowed to obtain confidential treatment for gender dysphoria, billed to their parents' insurance plan, and done without parental consent. I mean, that is just absolutely tragic that children as young as 13 are being given these drugs, and the parents are having to pay for it, and the parents aren't even told about it, and yet these children are on these drugs. The parents would be wondering, well, why is it that they haven't gone through puberty yet? Well, it's because the school has been giving them these experimental drugs that were intended for people with hormonal cancers. It's just beyond belief what is going on here. If you want to be given testosterone and you're male anyway, you have to show that you are actually low testosterone. You have to have blood tests. They won't give it to you until you're middle-aged because they know that it will shut down your body's own means of producing its own testosterone. It's far harder for you to actually get your own gender's hormones than it is to get the opposite gender's hormones. That's the situation that we are in now. As I say, with testosterone, they wouldn't give it to you until you're middle-aged. And yet what we have here is they're quite happy to give it to 13-year-old girls after first giving them a drug to shut down their body's own estrogen production, I guess, because otherwise they'd be producing both hormones. It's hard to overstate how radical this is, Abigail Schreier, journalist and irreversible damage author, tweeted. States are intervening in a loving relationship between a parent and a minor child and declaring, we will physically transform the child against your wishes and behind your back. And don't forget, this is against the wishes of the person who most intimately knows that child, has lived with that child all their life, and knows that 50% of that child is made from their own DNA. I mean, you may not get on well with your parents when you are a teenager, but as you get older in life, you realize that you cannot actually be more than the sum of your two parents. They are the people who know you best, and you will realize that you know yourself best by observing your parents. To claim that the state knows better is such an insult to parents, and it goes right against the fundamental structure of the family to say that the state knows best in these things. It's the parents that know best. It will always be the parents that know best. And all we can really do is hope that the parents win the appeal here. We are seeing some positive signs in Britain. I believe they have put a stop to the prescribing of hormone medication to children. While there is another case that goes through the courts against this Tavistock clinic, there is a young mixed race girl who is taking them to court for giving her these drugs when she was a child. And she says that there was no way that she could consent to this, no way that she could understand that the ramifications of the decision that she was actually making. So hopefully that, that case will win as well. And hopefully this, this case here in Australia will win, because it is a real shocking sign of the times, the number of children that are being permanently damaged in this way by giving them these experimental drugs. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.